You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome along to Series 6, Episode 9 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast, and a very special edition this week, Gaz, because tell the people where we're sitting recording this.
We're sitting here in the gantry getting ready for a stream in Bishopsgate.
The beautiful Bishopsgate.
Absolutely.
What a setting for a podcast.
Oh, couldn't be better. Surprised we didn't manage to do this one. Of all the streams we've done, we haven't done a live or a show like this.
Yeah, could get feisty here.
Absolutely.
We might need to get one of the stewards coming in the gate now for the match tonight. Funny. So just to say, obviously, Longford Town are playing tonight. We're recording here on Tuesday afternoon ahead of Longford's rearranged game against Cove Ramblers, and we're going to be streaming that later on. So, yeah, we're here in the gantry, going to do a live pod from Bishopsgate, and we've got a really good show coming your way, because here on Saturday, last Saturday, Longford Town took on Athlone Town in the El Clásico de Midlands. Longford ran out 2-0 winners to extend their unbeaten record over Athlone to 18 games now, nearly 10 years since they lost to Athlone. But the big story, of course, on Sunday evening, Martin Russell and Athlone Town parted ways, and I caught up with Martin after the game here on Saturday, so we're going to play that interview in a second, and then myself and Gaz are going to come back and have a chat about the ramifications of what's happened over the weekend at Athlone Town. And later on in the show, we've got another interview for you as well. I was at Drogheda and Bowes on Friday night, and a man who got his third goal of the season, Gaz, Dean Williams, he's had a really good start there. We're going to hear from him later on.
Yeah, no, we saw a lot of him last season, and even though the Town were deplorable enough throughout the season, he still got a few goals. He was a top scorer for Longford Town last season.
Yep.
And he deserved a better chance than he had got in previous years. He went out on loan a few times, so he signed up for
Drogheda. He hints at that in the interview as well. So, we'll put that on ice for now. You'll hear from Dean Williams a little bit later on. So, as I said, we're going to open the show by hearing from the former Athlone Town manager, now Martin Russell. I caught up with him on Saturday night after a 2-0 defeat against Longford in the Midlands Derby. Now, I'm here with the Athlone Town boss, Martin Russell, after a 2-0 defeat in the first El Clásico of the season. But, Martin, your team played some lovely football in the game, but I suppose the story of the season, glimpses of quality, but just not getting the results.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. So again, we can't deny that. And people have complimented us even in defeat, which, you know, it's not enough.
It's probably nice the first couple of times it happens, and then you're like,
yeah, because I said it yesterday again. I'll try and be honest. I said it. It's important that we're in the league, that, you know, you play with purpose, and the purpose is to win games and get points on the board. It's not just enough to be nice on the eye or get compliments for playing to a level. You really gotta, you know, be professional. And even if you look at the game tonight, there's probably a couple of areas where not having that quality of professional attitude at the right time has let us down. Mm. So that's where we're at. You know, you're a league down from the top division in the country, and there's responsibilities with that. So if you don't do well enough, then you got to hold your hands up and say, listen, we got to do better.
Yeah, I suppose it's just times this season where maybe you've switched off. Even the second goal is from a set piece, and that really kills your chances when you're building momentum, have the possession, but then you just make one mistake and you're punished.
Yeah. Listen, we have been punished, and probably what we haven't done is punish other teams. I mean, we had probably a couple of shots that, you know, they've gone straight to the keeper, for example, and he hasn't had to move for them instead of putting them into areas where he's got to make a proper save. So you've got to maximise that, and we had set players where we delivered some stuff in and didn't maximise it. That, whereas, you know, to be fair to Longford, they maximised both their set plays tonight, and again you've got to acknowledge that as something that needs to be worked on, and that's the only way forward.
And I suppose when you're down towards the bottom as well, you don't get the rub of the green. Longford found that out last season in the Premier Division, because even the first goal, your defender's headed away, it's come off the back of another Athlone player, and it's Felt to Craven who's buried it. So that's just what happens, I suppose.
Right. And even before that, what happened was I didn't even think it was a free kick. You know, on the side, we were going away with the ball, and the referee called it back because something happened after. So I look back at the video, but again, the referee has seen something that I haven't seen. That's merited the free kick, then we shouldn't have given away the free kick so cheaply, and that's bad as well.
Look, I suppose it was always going to be maybe a struggle at the start of the season for yourselves, because it was such a huge turnover of players. Is this how you envisaged the start of the season, or are you disappointed with where you are?
No, I'm disappointed because we're table wise, You know, and I've said this a couple of times that, you know, we can't make excuses. We've been close to games, and there's games probably even more so than tonight's one that we deserve points from. Tonight, I think it's out. We probably didn't deserve it. We might have got a draw on another day, but no, we didn't. You know, we didn't deserve that tonight. But other games we did. But you get nowhere feeling sorry, and you know it's up for individuals and collectively to try and raise standards, as I said, to be a bit more professional about how we approach things.
I suppose, as you said earlier in the interview, it's great getting all these plaudits about the football you're playing, but you're not coming away with the results. You've kept the lads in the dressing room for quite a long time after the game this evening. What was the message?
I know, we had a couple of discussions because, again, they're all good. Listen, being good lads is one thing, you know, and I said to them, being at the level they're at, being proper players is probably a separate thing, and they just got to buy into recognising the stuff that we've touched on there and try and say, well, listen, that won't happen again, and try and improve performances not to allow that happen again, and you know, go and win games.
Yeah, you've got Treaty up next, and you've only played them on Monday, so you'll be sick of the sight of each other, I suppose, but how do you approach that game now after defeat this evening?
Again, it's always difficult when you have a defeat, but you know, in football, and I told the boys as well, there's opportunities in this country for them all. They're all quite young. It's quite a young group we have, by and large. So there's good opportunities for them all to move up the ladder and play at a different level. But that takes responsibility, as I said, to go and be able to do it. And really, you can't afford to get your head down. You've got to push on again and show how good you are at the next opportunity that you get.
I suppose, as you said, you've brought players in from all over. There was Moldovan boy tonight, a couple of other lads that have vastly different experiences in the game. Yeah. Some of them signed three or four games into the season. Yeah. Has that been difficult to bed them in and try and get them familiar with the group? Would you have liked to get all that business done earlier in the season? What was the reasoning behind adding to the squad?
Yeah, I said, listen, we went into the season with a pretty new group. During the off-season, you wait on different things of players coming in. Some we couldn't bring in quick enough, and others that targets that we missed. There's a lot of things that happen, but by and large, it's a group that's, you know, continuing to try and gel, and it is what it is. And I've got to take responsibility for that as well, because I've asked players to come and sign and go and play, and you know, if there's issues where it's not quite gelling as quick as you want, you know, you got to look to try and improve that.
Yeah, final question then. Are you hoping, as you said, this is a team continuing to gel? Are you hoping that you'll see improvements now over the next couple of weeks when you do find your feet? And final question as well, it's a long time now since that loan got a win in the derby against Longford. It's nearly 10 years. So, that's 18 in a row now tonight they've gone unbeaten. But what's the message for the fans after that? Because I'm sure they're disappointed with the start of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know it was that long, to be honest. But no, I think there's always, you know, we've shown in previous games, as I said, not tonight, that we were capable of getting more out of it. And I think in the future games, you know, there's oppositions there that they'll be able to do that. But they have to acknowledge that there's a bit more required and go and try to want to bridge that gap to, you know, making sure that they come off the field at the end of the game with 3 points. You know, so that's what the work will be geared towards.
Martin, thanks very much for your time.
Okay.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yes, so that was the now former Athlone Town manager, Martin Russell. He obviously didn't see this one coming. He's talking in that interview about how the team's going to get better as the season goes on and when they gel. I have to say, there was some rumours flying around before the game on Saturday that maybe this decision might be coming. So maybe to some people it hasn't come as a massive surprise, but to Martin Russell it definitely seems like it was, because he kept the players in the dressing for quite a long time here on Saturday. I don't think if a manager's heading for the exit door, that's something they do. So what was your reaction when you heard the news on Sunday night?
Well, look, I heard the same rumours myself. I was kind of interested to hear those rumours, because I thought Athlone have probably played the best football I've seen from an opposition team in Bishopsgate this season. They're probably a bit naive going up front, not making the most of their chances that they have created, but But they're playing some really nice football, playing confident football at the back, rather than just hacking it clear. I thought Schlingerman had a great game on Friday or Saturday as well. Now, it was kind of one-way traffic, but I thought Athlone played some really nice football. I would probably say maybe a bit premature. I know the results haven't been very good, but at the same time, they're playing the right way. They're doing the right things correctly. They didn't make too many mistakes.
What was the goal at the start of the year? It's an entirely new squad. So much change. They're playing good football. They've actually got some lovely little players. Thomas Alou up front, they've done very well to get him. I thought Carlton, the ex-Longford man, had a good game. And the man in the middle, Stephen Kenny, I thought he was brilliant. Armstrong drifted in and out of the games at times, but you can see there's a player there. They've got some, even at the back, I thought young Oisín Duffy had a very good game as well. So they've got some talent to work with there. And I don't see, as a process, how sacking the manager after seven games, how that's going to help those players develop.
I don't see it myself. I'm struggling to see where, you know, what the next step is. Who are they going to get? You know, they brought in Paul Doolan last year, who wasn't mad about the driving or something. But they brought in Martin Russell, someone who has good experience in the league, bringing in players.
They've tried the local route as well. They had Adrian Carberry before Paul Doolan. He was doing okay. Didn't work. They felt it wasn't working. They brought Paul Doolan in for the last few games. That was a very short-sighted decision, I think everyone would agree. And now they try Martin Russell. So they've gone with the experience route. They've gone with someone that knows the club inside out, like Carberry did. I mean, you're exactly right. Where do they go next?
I generally don't know. And, you know, I said I was kind of disappointed when, obviously, with all the Neil Fenn stuff at Longford Town, he had just brought in three or four players in that window, and then he was gone. Like 2 weeks later, and I was like, you know, that's a bit annoying for the new players that had come in, because they had listened to Fenn, they had understood what he was trying to do, the style of football that he was trying to play, and the project that he was trying to do at the time. And now they were left with like, oh, well, Dara's here, that's great, and we know Dara, the success that Dara had getting Longford promoted the following season. But that must have been a bit of a souring moment, because I went, followed this manager, I listened to him at the project and the whole thing. And it's similar now to, because it's a vastly new squad in Athlone. They have followed Martin Russell, a good experienced manager, was trying to play the right way, playing a certain style of football, and just the results weren't coming. But I think he deserved more time. And I know that's easy to say, you know, it doesn't affect us or anything like that, but it's easy to say that he deserved more time. But what was, as you said, what were Athlone's ideas for the rest of the season?
The way I look at Athlone at the minute, so over the last couple of years, they've tried different setups in playing staff. They've tried, a couple of years ago when Carberry was there, it was younger players, local lads, under-19s, and he got them to a cup semi-final. Now, we won't mention the result of that one against Dundalk, but he did the best he could. He did it the best he could with probably was a shoestring budget. Then there was a shift in philosophy before the start of last season. All these big name players came in. Ambition was the playoffs, didn't happen. And then I said towards the end of the last year, don't be surprised if it's an entirely different new setup at Athlone next year. That's exactly what happened. Players coming in from all over. Even we touched on it before, 10 minutes before kickoff this time, times this season, fellas announced. We have fellas coming from Moldova. There's fellas from all over coming into this Athlone team. So it's very much looks like a thrown together thing. So they've tried different managers to try different players. It's not working. Is it time to start looking at the club, more different areas of the club? Why are Athlone Town in the place they are right now? Because, I mean, it was a derby game here on Saturday. How many away fans was there?
Very few.
One or two.
Yeah.
For a derby. Home gates are very poor. They seem, I'm just basing this off speaking to Athlone fans, looking on social media, a lot of people are saying that the club has alienated their fan base over the last couple of years. So surely that's something they need to address before they even start thinking of results. Because if you haven't got your local community on side, forget about your wasting your time.
100%. I don't disagree with any of that. I think the understanding in the amongst the fans is that they don't feel connected with the club itself. And now they've gone into a process where it's easier for them not to go to games. There's no shorter trip than going from Athlone to Longford. And, you know, to be fair, while Longford haven't lost a game against Athlone in nearly 10 years or whatever it is, that's great. But also, it's handy just to drive over. Do you know what I mean? If I happened to be in Longford, I probably would go to an Athlone game if it was on, because it's only half an hour down the road. No issue. Get kebab after the game. I'm sure there's good kebab shops in Athlone. So, why is there has to be something else going on rather than just the results on the pitch. It must be very frustrating for, let's say, the volunteers and stuff like that that are trying to help the club along, and seeing poor away crowds, particularly for over in Longford, and seeing that the general malaise around the club, and then something like this happens.
I mean, how can you actually build a connection with a team if the players are turning over every year, there's a new manager in every few weeks, and then there's not good vibes around the club anyway? Yeah. So it's very difficult to go out and support that. So you can maybe see why that malaise, as you said, has set in. But that's surely got to be the club's number one priority. We need to address this first, then we'll address results on the pitch.
That's right. And if you go on social media, you'll see plenty of whinging and moaning. How legitimate that whinging and moaning is, well, I didn't think it was probably that legitimate until recent weeks. Because you can see no away fans at games, poor home crowds, and now the manager is gone as well. The connection that could possibly be built over a longer period of time is now gone. Like, even if you take Longford Town here, where we're sitting now, Gary Cronin played for the club for a long time. Was on the management team for a while, and was an interim manager for a while, and now he's back as full time.
It's easy to have a connection with him then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember you used to play for us.
Yeah.
You know, I used to talk to you, you know, or whatever. I used to see you in the Longford Arms or whatever. And there's a bit of a connection there. This, you can never build a connection like this when there's so much chopping and changing, and you don't have a large, large core fan base that don't really care who's managing as long as the team is doing all right. Athlone aren't successful enough at the minute to be able to power through that malaise, and the club really need to address that from their volunteers straight out to the just Joe Soap fan.
Only one man for that job, Roddy Collins.
Well, you know, he managed them before, he got them promoted. There'll be a bit of buzz around it. I wouldn't be a huge fan, but I do like Roddy. I don't really know.
Yeah, look, we'll move on. Good chat on Athlone there. I'm happy enough with that. Let's move on. Galway 1, Wexford 1. Aaron Dobbs with a goal here. The defending for that goal from Galway was absolutely horrific, but a good finish from Dobbsy, something we've highlighted he needs to sharpen up on, and it was a good finish from there. But again, how many times this season Stephen Walsh digging Galway out of trouble?
Well, look, it's hard to know. Like, is some like the Walsh digging Galway out of a hole, yet another one, reaffirms the idea that Stephen Walsh should play up front. You know, and the mistake, or the mistake that I believe it is with Stephen Walsh playing up front. You know, we questioned it. What's going on? Like, the forward players, this lad coming up here. You know, what does that say about me and my position in the club? Or on the team. As regards the defending, was shocking poor. We didn't really see, you know, that game was a couple of hours before the Athlone game on Saturday. We were delighted because, you know, we think Wexford are playing all right football, probably not getting the results similar to Athlone, but not as extreme. And we thought that Wexford would be able to hold out. But Walsh steps up again and digs them out of another monumental hole. How many times can you play that trick, though? Do you know what I mean? That when's it gonna, you know, I'm not really sure what the, you know, five game, are we gonna be talking about having a similar conversation in August? Stephen Walsh up with a belter again to dig them out of a
we've touched on Galway style of play.
Can I just say one thing about the style? That's not style. that's I don't know what that is called, but it's not a style of play. Yeah. That's not a philosophy or anything like that. Let's get that clear. That's not a style. That's just a format of...
Format they play, if you're going to play that, and they will, because there's absolutely no doubt about it, John Caulfield is not going to change.
No.
So I've gone online after the game and Galway fans, yeah, delighted with the equaliser. Be nice to see the ball on the ground a bit more. Mm. So we've had this conversation already about Galway. People are very tired of that format of football already. But if you're going to continue with that format of football, which they clearly will, then Walsh is the perfect man up there because he's an absolute battering ram. He'll get his head on it and then he'll either score himself or he's going to nod it down for a teammate. So it's just going to be more of the same from Galway. For me, they're going to continue with that format all year. They're not going to win the First Division. And we'll get a good idea about Galway's chances for the title when they play Waterford this weekend. But good result for Wexford. I think you picked it up there. They're playing some good stuff this year. Probably not getting the results. Yeah. But
I do want to highlight just one thing about that game. Galway are unfortunately using the Pixelot system. Now, it's easy for me to be bleating on about streams and stuff like that, doing the Longford Town stream. But all we saw was a goal going into the net. I'd be very disappointed if I paid a fiver for that.
Just while we're on that, obviously, LOI TV, the highlight show, had the new format last night, live show, Stephen Kenny there, which was fantastic. But again, I was talking to our good friend Ronan down in Wexford. He's actually, I think he's doing a bit of a series in their match programme about streaming in general in the league. And we were just talking about the format, and we've had this conversation on the show as well, that, you know, it's an hour and a half long. You'd really expect to see some actual First Division highlights instead of just the ball hitting the net. I mean, we came out here at, what, half four, half three last Saturday, put in a grind to put together a good stream. I thought it was a very good stream. And all we saw on the highlight show was the goals, which, you know, that doesn't sit that great with me. But look, aside from our perspective, I think there's volunteers at all the First Division clubs. They're going out, they're putting on these streams, and then you get to see the goals fly in, and that's it. But the one thing I will say, just in following up on your Pixlot comment, I think clubs that are using Pixlot and where the streams, bad audio, bad Pixlot coverage, they probably can't be complaining as much. I don't think you can make a full highlights package out of those, because it is very, very poor quality. That's not an attack on anyone involved with those streams. That's for whatever reason their club has decided, we're going to use the pick slot, we're not going to produce our own streams. Maybe they don't have the volunteers, don't have the expertise in that area. But I personally wouldn't pay to watch a pick slot stream. There's been games this year I've been at home Friday night, not going to a game. What game will I watch? I'd like to watch that one, but it's on Pixlot. I'm not watching it. So I think that's something those clubs need to have a look at.
I'd fully agree. I would actually, and it's easy, again, it's easy for me to say. I'd say if the highlight show didn't show any Pixlot highlights, no one could really complain.
No,
because like we had no idea what happened with Dobbs's goal except for Wexford video of the game.
Yeah.
They put up that highlight of the goal. We'd have no idea how Dobbs managed to get the ball in the net, because all we saw was the ball going into the net. We had no idea what happened before that. He might have shot from 50 yards. We don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Galway or any club that doesn't use that uses the Pixlot system, that's as you said, a decision of their own. But it's just not good. And I think a point needs to be made that streaming is here to stay. And while we mightn't be happy with the format and how it's membership and, you know, season passes and all that stuff, we might all be happy with that. But at the end of the day, it's a feature that needs to stay in the league. We can't regress back to something else and poor camera work and blah, blah, blah. Now, obviously, we're all doing our best and we're volunteering. But I think I just want to make one final point. Anthony Quinn from the Athlone
media
team, he was here on Saturday. And he runs an audiovisual company, so this is old hat to him.
Yeah,
he actually said to me when he came and visited here last year when I was streaming, we're using stuff that he threw out 15 years ago. But the point to me was, we're throwing on which I think is a decent product and a decent stream. We've replays, we've highlights, we've stats, we've good commentary.
Thank you.
Yeah, but at least the audio is good.
Yeah,
and we've all of these things, and we're doing it for nearly no money.
Oh, it's costing us money. Uh-huh. Not the club, but me and you personally.
Oh, yeah.
Involved, it's costing us. But we love it.
Yeah, we love it. And I still think it's money well spent.
Yeah.
It's achievable for clubs to do.
Yeah.
And I think that we don't have the expertise. Like, I didn't know much about streaming myself, but I got it going.
Yeah. Yeah, so look, basically, we're looking forward to seeing a good 10-minute highlights package of the town's next game on the highlights programme. That's basically what we're looking for here.
Well, look, I will say one thing. Michael Shingram made an unbelievable save down the left-hand side here from us. Sam Verdon got a little nick on it. And he dived back and threw his
arm. Going the wrong way,
The wrong way. Brilliant save. That'll never be seen.
No. Let's move on. Cove nil, Waterford 4. We'll see Cove in action here tonight. Goals from Forrest, your old mate Kavanagh got a goal, and Phoenix Patterson got a double. Easy win for Waterford. Cove only one win this season. That was against the bottom side at Lowe, and they're the only team below Cove in the table. Really, really poor start to their season. It's a bit like last year. Their season is almost dead and buried already, isn't it?
Kind of is. I'm not really sure what we expected from Cove, but we did highlight the market that they were shopping in. It was going to define their season. Munster Senior League players. Not to say that there's no gems in there and there's no good players, but it's such a step up. People don't realise that, yes, it could be playing the highest level of football in non-league, or we'll say outside the League of Ireland. And then when you come into the League of Ireland, we'd be blown away by the quality and the speed. And
it's just it's the change in the lifestyle as well. You're probably going to be training at least 3-4 times a week. It's huge travelling. There's so much sacrifices and commitment you have to make. Now, that's not, again, to say the Munster Senior League lads don't do that, but you can probably get away with a little bit more in your lifestyle.
Yeah.
The eating has to be right. Everything has to be right. If you're not 100% going out on a League of Ireland pitch, you're going to be totally exposed.
All completely blown apart. And as you said, it's not a slight on the Munster Senior League.
No.
But you have to still understand that the change in quality, change in pace, the decision making has to be quicker. You don't get that second.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think it's just a fact of the matter. I think if they stay with the way the course that they're going, that change is possible. If they start mixing and matching with what Athlone are doing, I don't think they'll stay in that rut forever. I think while they'll have to grow and build over a period of time, maybe a nice little cup run.
We spoke about Cove on the show previously. We were saying, okay, on the pitch at the moment it's not going great, but their chairman, since he's come in there, has put a huge emphasis on the community, plans for the future. They've got the new Astro pitch was launched there. That was a number of clubs and different groups coming together to get that done. Because obviously, like all over Ireland, when it comes to football, a lot of politics involved. This group doesn't get on with this group. But in Cove, they've really worked hard on bringing everyone together for the good of Cove, for football. So it doesn't matter if you're an 8-year-old in Cove and you have dreams of playing League of Ireland, there's that opportunity. Or if you just want to have a Sunday league kickabout, that's there. That the facilities are going to be here because everyone's working together. So I think they're doing really well in that regard. And even just to give them credit as well, I'm doing commentary here tonight. Obviously, they sent out a media pack at the start of the season, details on all the players. They're the only club that actually sent one of those out, at least that I received anyway. So I think that was a lovely little touch for them. They do a press conference every week online as well, over Zoom. So they're doing everything with a really professional approach. It's just not happening on the pitch. But I think you're right. The worst thing they could do now is chop and change. They're going to stick to a philosophy, and hopefully we'll see an improvement in the next 3, 4, 5 years.
100%. No, I think that, you know, you're the chairman on last season or the season before, and I really enjoyed that interview because of his vision. And he seemed to understand this isn't happening tomorrow. This isn't happening next month or probably next year. This is a longer term process, and he seems to be understanding of that, and the results aren't going to happen just tomorrow.
And another hot topic that's come up a few times on the show this season, crowd trouble. Now, unfortunately, there was a bit of an incident outside St. Coleman's Park at their game against Waterford. They're after releasing a statement today. A couple of individuals that threw items on the pitch, they've already been identified, they've already been banned. They're not putting up with that. So again, you have to just give them credit the way they're approaching things at the moment. So let's move on. Bray nil, Treaty nil. You were at this one. I know you weren't impressed, so you can tell us all about it.
Well, look, it was a late decision to go down. got the dart down, bitterly cold evening, as many would know. Went down on the dart, bought the ticket on the dart. It was such a late decision to go. And I'm really, look, I'll never say I regret going to a football match. And I never will say that. But I was very close to saying it here. It was woeful stuff. Absolutely woeful stuff.
It sounds like me and you had similar experiences on Friday night. I'll get to my game later on. The floor is yours for this one.
I just was really disappointed with, probably more so, Treaty. I think with Bray, they were playing at home. You know what you're going to get with them, no matter where they are. They could be playing on the moon and they'll play the same way. It won't really make a difference. Really, industrial stuff. Going nowhere.
The format.
Did I say style?
No, I'm just saying.
That's not style either.
Yeah.
The format that they're approaching the game in, it's just really, really poor. I thought Treaty, they maybe attempted to play, but I think they were satisfied from early on that this is going to be an unbelievable slog and we'll take the nil-nil draw. There wasn't really that many chances created. A couple of headers here. I can't remember the chap for Treaty headed over.
Wasn't Big Red. Was there any sign of Big Red, or was he injured?
I think he was injured.
Ah, unfortunately.
Jimmy Mac, I hope I got that right now. Me at the game. But no, he wasn't. I don't think he was playing. I actually asked Jason, who was also at the game, number 17 for Treaty, Coulstrain.
Joel Coulstrain.
Coulstrain.
We've had him on before.
Yeah. Brilliant. Best player on the pitch. Actually attempted something, made a couple of runs,
yeah,
bet a couple of lads, you know, that was unheard of on that pitch for the rest of the game. He seemed to be the only one that was attempting something. There was a lot of ball being fired around the place. Poor Rob Manley, he was getting balls pegged at him from every angle and had no real help. He had a couple of chances. I think Jack Brady made a good save. It was down the far end from me, so I couldn't really see, but he made a good save and went out for a corner. But that was kind of it. There was no real clear-cut chances, not even shots. Do you know what I mean? A couple of balls went out into the road. That was about it.
Come here, what was the atmosphere like at the game?
I thought the Bray fans made a good atmosphere.
Right.
I stood behind the goals that you walk in. And just, it was handy because it was there late. Just 2 minutes after kickoff or something like that, we walked in. And the Bray fans were making loads of good noise. Really good stuff. There was a bit of grief going on. I think some fans were... where there shouldn't be.
Yeah, I've seen something online about that. All right.
Yeah, I think guards were involved or something like that. No, there was no bad. There was no fisticuffs or anything like that. It was just like, you don't go here. I'll move over here.
Yeah, I got a video after the game. There was some unsavory incidents, but look, as I said, that's something clubs just need to deal with. But go on.
There was a group of Treaty fans over beside the press box, and then another group of Treaty fans in the. You know, under the stand type situation to have, which I thought was a bit weird. I don't know if that's a bit of a faction going on, you know.
Effigy.
I have no idea. But look, maybe that was a Blue Army or something, you know, Army down there. They were making a bit of noise throughout the game. A bit of crack going on.
I know the reason I asked is just because if you go online, obviously, it looks a Bray at the moment, very frustrated, the supporters, a large section of them. But
I thought
sometimes that can seep into, you know, onto the pitch and... I just wondering, was there that kind of vibe?
If something was seeping in, there's nothing else can seep into that team because they can't play any, you know, the format of football is just not good enough. But no, I thought they were singing the whole night, having a bit of crack, roaring over at the Treaty group the far side, and a very bit of crack about it. I thought it was very good spirit and stuff like that. I was there looking, I had a good angle of both fans. Any really, I wouldn't even call it unsavoury. An ego going where he shouldn't have meant, and that was it. No real grief.
Good stuff. I was just asking, as I said, because there's been talk of Bray fans not being happy, so I was wondering what the atmosphere was like in the ground, but it seems they're getting behind their team, so that's good to hear. Let's move on to the Premier Division games. We'll hear from Dean Williams in a little while. He got a late equaliser for Drogheda against Bowes. I was there on Friday, I'll tell you all about that. But we're going to start with Sligo against UCD. Lots of welcomes to heavens here because we had four goals in the game. A double from Max Matta, who Joey and Doe is a big fan of, it seems. He's a big fan of Whelan as well, but we've been a big fan of him for quite a while. And Caffrey also scored for UCD, but for Sligo, what a poor result this is. No disrespect to UCD, they played very well on the night, but Sligo, consecutive home defeats. They have a home game then against the team that is sitting bottom of the league that had only scored in two games all year. You've got to go and put games like this to bed.
Oh yeah, if I was Ian Buckley, I'd be asking the boys, this game needs to be dead and buried. I need to be putting on under 16s for the second half. And that's, as I said, no disrespect to UCD, but that's where, considering the results that Sligo have had recently, they needed that. Mm. They really needed to go hammer and tongs at this, and they didn't. And, you know, I don't want to take pleasure in this, but it seems like Sligo have brought forward the collapse
of the end of last season. Yeah.
Instead of doing it in June, they're going to do it in April. And...
Well, I did say that to you. Thankfully, we didn't get suckered into the whole, oh, geez, could Sligo be involved in a title race here? Yeah. We weren't having it.
And we are a pair of
and we took a little bit of stick. Yeah. We were getting a couple of comments online. Oh, you're not giving Sligo their dues. No, they're playing well at this moment in time. But trust me, there's a collapse coming somewhere. It's just come a lot earlier than we thought it would.
Yeah. Now, maybe collapse is probably too strong of a word. But I do think it shows the mentality, the approach, the idea that they're going into games with, that they're just not set up to just put teams down. And no matter who they get in, it doesn't seem the philosophy of that doesn't seem to be there. They need to be, as we said, baiting the life out of UCD. And they didn't do it. I know my man Carrigan set up Whelan for their first equaliser. Their equaliser to make it 1-1. And it was a great goal. But was I that surprised? Probably not. And UCD, while we've said it that they're kind of playing for quite negative in comparison to what we expected or saw from them last season, and their positivity and the quality of players that they have, they were a totally different animal in this game. And well, they went at them.
What they've done now, they've given themselves a little bit of hope, because, you know, we were saying on this show we're kind of losing hope already after recent results and just the manner of their performances, but they've got a good performance here on the road, and now in their next game they're at home to Drogheda. If they win that, yeah, they're back, bang back in it, because the teams above them, the likes of Harps, even Drogheda to an extent, Shelburne, they're not pulling away.
No.
So if UCD can just keep chipping and chipping and chipping away, they're never going to be cut adrift. But if they lose this game on Friday, then they are obviously in big trouble.
I genuinely believe, I hope to go to this UCD game on Friday, that they have to approach it. I talked about before about that double header that they had. Harps at home, Shells at home. They got 2-0 all draws. That's okay, but I said that they will regret that later on in the season.
You would have been better to lose one of them games and win the other.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They have to almost, it's very early in the season to say this, they have to almost treat this game on Friday like a cup final. They have to go for it. Draws won't do.
No.
It'll keep them there, but if they want to make a statement that, you know, we're not just going to lie down and be relegated this year, they need to win a game and they need to win it quite quickly.
100%.
This is a good chance.
This is a great opportunity. Now, people will say, you know, drawing those two games and losing one and winning one, that only gives you an extra point. But the positivity, win a game.
And against a rival, against a relegation rival.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what Shells would have been at the time, because we didn't really know what Shells were going to do. You know, they haven't really overly impressed us either. But there was a bit of like, just, yeah, get beat these lads. Mm. We're going somewhere. They didn't do that when the opportunity was kind of there, and hopefully they don't regret it, but I fear they will. But this game on Friday is just going to be huge.
We'll get to that later on. Let's move on to the derby. Harps 1, Derry City 2. McJanet on the score sheet again. We were impressed with him when we watched him on the Monday in UCD.
Yeah.
I liked the line the social media account, the league's Twitter, used for patching, the Brandywell Beckham. Brilliant free kick again. He's just an absolute superstar at those. And Mihajlovic got his first goal for Harps at the end, but proved to just be a consolation. Great result for Derry. You know, it's the derby. It's never going to be easy. They've gone up there, they've got the win, and still unbeaten, still top of the table.
What more can you ask for? I think the best point that was made, and Derry social media were making the point as well, 3 away games in a week.
Yeah.
3 wins.
I meant to say this on last week's show. Now, love the man, Declan Fabio O'Brien.
Yeah.
And does a great job on the highlight show as well. But they were asking the lads last week who was going to win the league. Did they fancy Derry or Rovers?
Right.
Fabio sided away from Derry because he said, on the road, I don't think they'll get the results. I was like, What? Rory Higgins' record. Now, we can be a bit of a Rory Higgins fan club here on this show. Yeah. But his
Hello,
record.
Rory.
Well, lad. Rory's record on the road since they came in has been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And as you said, 3 away wins in a week. How can, if he came out and said something else, you know, oh, this is why I think Derry won't win the league. Mm. But to say, oh, I think on the road they won't get the results. I was like, what?
To say that they were red and white stripes would have been a more legitimate argument for them not winning the league.
Yeah.
They have been brilliant. Now, I know they played UCD and Harps in the last week, teams at the lower end of the table. At the end of the day, you still have to go and beat these teams. I thought they made a bit of heavy lifting of it in UCD, as we said last week, but they still got it over the line. They haven't been playing fantastic.
Do you know what excites me about Derry at the moment? You're right there. The game against UCD, we were at it, and it wasn't one of those games where you're on the edge of the seat. You were just looking at Derry, waiting for them to do something.
Yeah.
And eventually it took a free kick to break down UCD, and then they get a good goal on the break later on. And you're like, okay, professional performance. But they haven't blown any teams away yet.
No.
They're actually playing within themselves a little bit. They're like, it's early in the season, lads. Let's not expend too much energy.
Yeah.
You know, second half of the season, are we going to start seeing Derry really blowing teams apart? I'm very excited. I said this to you on the show last week. Mm. I like how they're going about it. I like all the different ways they can play, the different formations, the different players they can play in different positions. There's so much to like about this Derry team at the moment. And I think as the season goes on, they're only going to get better and better and better.
I think so. Better and better and better.
Michael Duffy comes back.
Michael Duffy comes back. Hopefully he comes back sooner rather than later. Who comes out? We weren't impressed with Matty Smith the other night.
No, we weren't. No, we were impressed with Brandon Kavanagh.
Very.
Very impressed with him. Yeah. No, we weren't impressed with Smith.
Yeah, so, you know, I think Matty Smith probably could do with a bit of a boot up the ass with Michael Duffy coming back. Yeah, he's a bit of time now. Because Michael Duffy can't just walk back into the team tomorrow.
No.
So he's a bit of time to go, yeah, let me make it a hard decision for Rory Higgins. But at the end of the day, it'll be tough to leave Michael Duffy out of any team, no matter who's playing in there.
Yeah, we'll move on. Pats nil, Dundalk nil. Main talking point of this was handshake gate. No handshake between Stephen O'Donnell and the matches at the end. Aside from that, a couple of brilliant saves. We actually shared them on the BTS Twitter from Nathan Shepherd, the Dundalk goalkeeper, who, as I said a few weeks ago on the show, a little bit of a rocky start, but he's really grown into it. There's been a lot of goalkeepers that have come in from the UK this season. Some have impressed, some haven't, but he's starting to get to grips with it now, and he made two important saves here. So it's probably Pats that'll be more disappointed with this. Dundalk are getting quite accustomed to these draws, to be honest.
Yeah, they've the most draws in the league, don't they? And look, it's probably not a bad result, probably more frustrating for Pats. You know, they had the good chances and they just met a keeper on a good night. I thought the handshake stuff, you know, I think it was funny for obviously a number of reasons. I don't know. You can't just shake the lad's hand and move on with it.
But look,
you know?
We don't know, and behind closed doors, what didn't go on, what's caused that, we don't know.
O'Donnell has been going on for the last, 6 months? Nothing happened. You know, this is nothing. You know, everyone's happy. You know, this is this and this is that. And then he just looks through Alan Matthews, who basically enabled him to get that job. If Alan Matthews wasn't there, because O'Donnell didn't have the licenses. So if Alan Matthews decided, I have enough of you, lad, you're gone. And we'd be talking about Stephen O'Donnell, what great player he was. He tried a bit of the management and now he's nowhere. But I know you're an O'Donnell fan club, you know.
No, I did see a few people make this point. You know, he gave him a leg up.
Yeah.
Alan Matthews. And look, we're big Alan Matthews fans here on the pod, obviously, given what he done here. And I bump into Alan at games all the time. Yeah. And always a pure gent. So yeah. I didn't enjoy seeing that the other night. So yeah, no, I can see.
But can I see the point where?
I can see your point.
Yeah, no, but like O'Donnell going on blue in the face, telling us how no, everything's amicable enough. Oh, there was no issue and blah blah blah, and then he goes and does that.
Yeah. All I'm saying is we don't know what happened or what caused that. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I know that, yeah. But it doesn't really match up to what O'Donnell has been bleating on about outside of this.
On the game itself, look, as we said, not a huge pile to report here. It was unfortunately the curse of the TV cameras once again. But I don't like shatting all over the league, because as I said on last week's show, we're here to promote and we love this league. That's why we're sitting here on a Tuesday afternoon, not in work. We're out here ready to do a stream, doing a podcast before, so we love this league, it's fair to say that. But Dundalk have won two games this season, against UCD and against Harps, and they've drawn pretty much every other game. And they're fourth. What does that say about the league?
You're going at the quality element. Well,
and given a lot of the games we've been at haven't really been classics, have they?
No. Well, look, I nailed my flag to the mast. Longford Town, if they need to win this league, because there is no team, as I said many times.
Yeah, don't worry, we'll get to Longford. Don't worry. We're talking about Premier Division.
But my point is, I think there has been across, because we've seen a few Premier games as well. I've seen mostly First Division. I thought the quality has gone down in the First Division.
Dramatically.
Yeah. I think it's the same for the Premier Division. There's clubs there that are just not achieving anything worth of note. Bar Derry.
Is it too critical to say there's two good teams, two probably very good teams, and then you have the rest?
Yeah.
Is that too critical or is that fair?
I think that's fair.
We
have questions over Sligo, of which they've been proven to us in emphatic terms.
They're a good team, but it's the mentality side of them maybe.
No, they're a good group of players.
Yeah.
Are they a good team?
Yeah, that's fair. But, okay, we could go to Sligo and watch them and probably have a good evening watching Sligo. Yeah. Bows so far this season have been a disaster. We'll get to them. Drogheda, they're doing okay. But again, maybe the football isn't overly, you know, not going to have you on the edge of the seats. It's quite, they're playing for results, so you can understand that.
Way at the edge of the seat of the Jacks.
Harps, we know what we get with them. Shells, I've been so bored watching them this season. UCD tried to play, but maybe not as much this season as they did last season. But again, that's understandable. That's not a criticism of those teams I mentioned at all. They're down that half of the table. They're fighting for their lives. They're doing what they have to do.
But
quality wise at the minute, it's not there for me.
No, it's not. And we used to say that there has been some good games, but it's just a quality of play, the style and approach has it really changed? I think it has to a certain extent. I think there's a different element of what's going on the field. It's probably like we need to do this, we need to do that to get up the table rather than going out and winning the game in front of you.
Is it? as well, over the last couple of years, games have been played behind closed doors. Players maybe under a little bit less pressure. Now, as a product to watch, it was crap because there was no atmosphere.
Yeah.
But maybe the actual football been played, a lot more passing. It was like an academy game in England, maybe a little bit. Is that something to do with it too? Now that the fans are back, decisions are a little bit more rushed. It's a little bit more, geez, I don't want to make a mistake here, so I'm going to boot this up the line type thing.
Possibly, but I don't think I've met a player that has said, geez, I wish it was back in COVID.
Oh, no, no,
was
no,
there.
No, no.
So maybe subconsciously, but like, you know, look, neither of us play the game at any level worth the dirt. So do we know? But I'd say when the players arrive here later on and I ask them, would you like to go back and play a few games in COVID? I'd say they'd hate it.
Mm.
And, you know, even with, you know, some games have had really poor crowds, I think they'd rather just a few people there and a bit of, you know, effing and blinding into them.
Yeah. Well, there was plenty of that in Richmond on Friday, I believe, so.
Great to see it.
But unfortunately, there wasn't much action on the pitch. So we'll move on to the next one. But listeners, if you have a view on that, where do you feel the standard of the league is this season? What team have you enjoyed watching most this season so far, aside from your own? Do get in touch with us on social media and let us know. Let's move on. Shells 1, Shamrock Rovers 2. And this was basically the story of both teams summed up in a game, because you had Shells who dug in, organised really well, good defensive performance, not a huge pile going forward, though they did get a goal through Shane Farrell. Andy Lyons scores again for Rovers, but then a late goal and an absolute belter from Aaron Green wins the game for Shamrock Rovers, who struggled to break down a very resolute Shelburne team, but eventually they do it with the last kick of the game. So, you know, that's the story of the two team seasons.
You had a shocker online asking if the keeper should have saved that shot. That was a great, great goal by Aaron Green, but it pulled it out of the fire. That's all it was. Do you know what I mean? It was a great goal, great to get the win and the whole lot and the rest of it, and a, you know, a bit of a derby type of situation.
I'm going to pretend it was a bit of clickbait, but it wasn't. It was a bad opinion.
It was a bad opinion. And you got a bit of abuse for it, and you were dead right to get it.
Sorry, I'm all about the engagement. All about the engagement.
Look, I think that's I don't know what I called this game was going to be last week, but I think it was a fair assessment of
what... I think this is... It played out kind of how we almost expected. It's probably what we would have predicted. Mightn't have got the scores right. Maybe we did. I can't remember. But, you know, this is the kind of the way the game played out. We thought that would happen. Shell sit in, come and beat us, and Rovers just had enough to beat them.
Exactly. But this goes back to the thing I'm blue in the face talking about. Rovers able to break down teams that kind of sit back. That is a huge issue for them. Do you think... Well, Dundalk have, or not Dundalk, Derry. They played Shelburne down in they bet them 1-0, wasn't it? Down in Talca.
Yeah.
That, I would give Derry, no, look, I like Derry, I like Rory, I like Derry. So maybe I'm being a bit harsh on Rovers.
I was just going to say, you probably can't be too critical here, because how many late goals have Derry got, not only this season, but since Rory Higgins came in? A lot. And we're hammering Rovers, another late goal, out of jail again.
But where are Derry coming from? They came from stone nowhere in the last year to be top of the league unbeaten. Right?
You haven't seen enough progression from Rovers.
That's what I mean. They have had that squad. We said they've only brought in one or two players in the offseason, Lyons and Byrne.
Yeah.
Two great players that would make any addition to any team in this country, obviously.
Well, but I'll just give Stephen, just once I let you come back in, I'll give Bradley credit here, because we can be critical of him at times and other fans can as well. We all questioned, why is he signing Andy Lyons? He doesn't need Andy Lyons. Where is he going to play Andy Lyons? Yeah. Look what Andy Lyons has done over the last few weeks.
Bashing in goals.
That's a brilliant signing.
It is a brilliant signing. And but make no mistake, Stephen Bradley isn't taking a risk signing Andy Lyons.
No.
Do you know what I mean? He's not going, jeez, we never heard of this lad before. Let's get him in and see what he's like. Mm. Oh, jeez, he's great. There's no risk taking going on here. My point on Rovers is they have all these wonderful players. We've said regularly, they're not able to progress and actually go, right, we can beat these lads 3-0. They had the ability to beat Shelburne 3-0, make no mistake, on any ground in the country. But they're not doing it. They're finding it very, very difficult. And that's where I'm questioning Stephen Bradley. I'm not asking for his head. I'm not asking for anything like that. He's had great success. But can he change this team into a team that can break down these teams that are sitting in, working extremely hard? Surely to God, over the last number of years that he's been at the helm, he has been able to crack that code. He hasn't done it yet, and that's where the only question mark I have over Stephen Bradley.
Okay, let's move on. Drogheda 1, Bowes 1. I was at this game. It was absolutely horrific. It was one of the worst games quality wise I've seen in a long, long time. First half, I mean, when I go to Drogheda, I'm expecting certain players always to play well. Dane Massey, always 7, 8, 9 star performance. You're expecting Gary Deegan to have a good game in the middle. You're looking at Chrissy Lyons up front. There's 3 or 4 players there always play very well. They were all horrendous the other night.
Wow.
Really poor. Georgie Poynton got man of the match, and he was probably one of the hardest working players on the pitch. It's probably a 6 out of 10 performance.
Yeah.
That was enough to get man of the match. That's how bad the quality was here. But Drogheda were... I spoke to Kevin Doherty after the game. He's like, yeah, we were very poor, particularly in the first half. Bowes had the chance to go and kill Drogheda in this game. They were one up through a penalty. I haven't actually seen it back. It was handball. Where I was sitting, the angle wasn't great. And I thought, geez, that looks soft. But none of the Drogheda players really appealed to the referee. So I was like, okay, it's probably from their angle, it's a penalty. They score that. And I'm like, okay, go and kill the game. Long ball, long ball, long ball. Midfield went missing in the last 20 minutes of the game. The amount of times James Clark picked up a 50-50 ball and there was no Bowes player within 20 yards of him, and he just walked from his own half to the edge of the Bowes penalty area. And that's how the goal eventually came about. A ball broke in the middle, Drogheda player picked it up, walked into the Bowes half, played a ball out wide to Lillian Grimes, and this was the only bit of quality I saw all night. Grimes decided to take the man on. He beat a couple of Bowes players, crossed it into Williams. Williams, one touch, rifled it into the bottom of the net. It was the only quality in the entire game. I'm not just having a go at Bowes here. Drogheda as well were extremely poor. But Bowes had the initiative in this game. One up, go and kill the game off. We've talked a lot about Bowes on this show over the last couple of weeks, and we've spoken about players in different positions. You know, they've lost Georgie Kelly, all the rest. We haven't really spoken about Keith Long, and we've given Long lots of credit on this show over the last number of years. Rebuilding job every year. Rebuilding,
and he deserves
job,
that credit.
100%.
Yeah.
But the other night, I'd have to look at the sideline and say, where was the leadership from the manager there? Because his team was coasting in this game, and he just allowed his team to sit off and let a very poor Drogheda side come back into the game. And it was like the game was just passing Bowes by. Right. And it was almost like he thought, oh, there's not enough quality here for Drogheda to score. But they did score. And it's a huge... It's 2 points dropped from Bowes. It was a very poor performance. But I just thought, tactically, he got up very, very wrong the other night.
And that was from a perspective in... Right. Well, I suppose even looking at the result and the way the game played out, that they went ahead, kind of kept at it for a little while, and then just decided...
But there's no quality in their game at all.
Yeah.
I mean, Devoy was picking it up, and then he was, where am I passing this to? And he was going square.
Behind him and stuff.
Twardek, I didn't see him take a man on all night from a wide position. Promise Amachera did his best. He was holding it up. The only two players I give them credit for having a bit of quality in the game, Promise and Liam Burt. Liam Burt is top class.
Yeah.
Aside from that, it was just there was I couldn't tell you what way Bowes were approaching the game. It was just there was no game plan there, and I think you have to look to the manager and say what went wrong there.
So we've seen in recent weeks a lot of grief online from Bowes fans, amongst themselves, which is another issue. But if we look at that. There was no defensive error that led to this goal.
The equaliser. Not really. There was a huge gaping hole in the middle of the park.
Yeah.
No one pressed the ball carrier out wide to.
But you said
Grimesy, bit of skill, cross and finish.
You said that gaping hole in the middle was there.
That was there for 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, and not resolved.
No.
So what is Keith Long looking
now,
at?
He brought Jordan Flores off the bench, but I can't really remember Flores doing anything in the game. But I was thinking, you don't even need to bring your player on there. You just need to say, let's tighten up in the middle. It was that basic, really. It was just the game.
Even Promise drop in if the
something.
Game, yeah.
Just, don't be allowing... It was Clark, particularly, a lot for Drogheda. He was just picking up the 50-50 ball, the loose ball, and then he had a notion of space just to walk into. It wasn't that he was picking it up and beating 2 or 3 players. He was just picking up the ball, looking ahead. Oh, there's the Bowes goal. I can go and do what I want now.
Yeah,
it was incredible to watch.
Yeah, no, it sounds like, you know, I haven't seen I didn't watch this game obviously, but based on what I've seen, the mistakes that were made defensively in recent weeks for Bowes have cost them dearly in both wins and draws. That's one thing to resolve, but that's individual errors, like, you know, that's just hard. That's tough. The format, though, and the way that Bowes have approached this game and the style of play that they apply to this game, has really cost them.
Again, another thing Bulls fans have been talking about a lot amongst themselves, this whole thing with the captaincy. It's been chopped and changed, yeah. Different players getting it. Keith Long came out after and said he didn't want to give the armband, he didn't want to give that responsibility to one player, that he wants 11 captains, 11 leaders on the pitch. So he's not going to burden one player with the armband, he's going to pass it around.
What? So he's going against what pretty much every other club in the entire world, in the history of the game do. He's saying he knows better.
In different countries, it's kind of looked at differently. Like I think we spoke about it before, the whole captain armband, it's not as important as it was. In like, look at the Premier League. Is there many Roy Keanes around anymore? No. In Italy, I know, I think particularly with the national team, it was for a long time, I assume it's still the same way. It was just whoever had the most caps, most appearances, always wore the armband. So there's different approaches to it. And this is another approach that Keith Long has, but it's not one you see too often.
It's not one you see too often, and it's certainly not doing him any favours. Was it Liam Burt that was given the captaincy at the start of the season?
I'm not sure. It wasn't a Tyreek Wilson that came out.
That's
he got himself in a bit of grief.
He did.
What he said, there was nothing wrong with what he said. It was just taken out of context. He said it was a bit of cloth. And people were like, oh, that's disrespecting the armband. What he was saying was, I don't need a bit of cloth on my arm to be a leader on the pitch. Yeah. That's what he was saying, but other people wanted to take it other ways. But
then also the people that were taking it other ways have probably seen what was going on the pitch and are conceding goals late in the game, not seeing out games.
This is why I asked you about the armband. I got the impression that there was no leaders on the pitch because nobody said, Jesus, lads, we need to tighten up here and see this game out. Mm. There was very little talking on the pitch. It was just...
Yeah, just when Keith Long mentioned 11 captains for the 0-4 final, Longford Town bet came back from 1-0 down to beat Waterford, two balls on the pitch, the whole lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Soak it in, Waterford fans. Alan Matthews, I think it was the 0-4 final, he brought each player in individually and gave them all an armband that they wore underneath their jersey.
I never knew this.
Yeah.
I never heard the story.
Don't ask me how I know this. Right, I could. I might
gather around, children.
Yeah. It might be total rubbish, but I would lay my life down that this is true. He brought them in and explained to them what he wanted from them as a captain in their position.
Right, okay.
Gave them each an armband that they wore underneath their jersey. Obviously, cup final day, only one man can be an actual captain.
Yeah,
and he explained to them what he wanted from them to lead them, to put pressure on their players beside them and around them. That was a very neat and nice psychological approach to that game.
You can only do it once.
You can only do it once. Yeah. You can't do it 3 weeks later.
Calling all the lads in. Oh, yeah. Here we go again. Alan. Cheers, lad.
Yeah. By looking at Barry Ferguson lift the cup.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't work.
No.
But what he did in that particular game, he got a particular response. As regarding the captain for Bowes, it doesn't even matter who he picks at this point because there doesn't seem to be one leader on the pitch.
You think James Talbot there, he's there that long.
Personally, I hate the idea.
Personally, I hate it, but I'm just looking at the situation there at the moment. You need to give the armband to someone. He probably is the best you have at the moment.
Mm. Definitely. I don't know what way that way is going to shake out with Keith Long and who he decides to be captain. Can you take it off Tyreek Wilson now?
Well, he has. He's passed. I think someone else wore it on
officially. Was that the official?
It wasn't taken off him, but he said, like I said, oh, I don't want to be burdening anyone with this, so it's going to be passed around.
Well, it seems like, on a similar note, it seems like Keith Long isn't burdening anybody at any point because the results and the performances that they're throwing in, you mentioned that the whole, it's very easy, especially when we're up in the gantry, we can see a lot of every area of the pitch. It's probably the best view in the ground. We can look and go, we said it at the Wexford game. Longford were so open in the middle and it was costing him a lot of chances. We said Gary needed to resolve that. He resolved it in the next game.
Mm.
Keith Long...
The same issues are cropping up
all the time and he's not seeming to resolve it. I'm not sure, just on his future, I'm not sure. I think he deserves a bit more time. But I'm not sure how long a time that's going to be. Excuse the pun. I just... there doesn't seem to be many changes going on.
Well, look, the title's gone now already, so...
Oh, the title was never in the cards.
No, it never was. No. But what I'm saying is, the goal, obviously, for Bowes this season is Europe again.
Yeah.
So I would imagine he will be there as long as they're in the hunt for Europe. If it came to a situation where, come the summer, they're looking at a 9, 10, 11, 12-point gap, then he's going to be in bother.
And do you think he deserves that considering what he's done?
I think he deserves it. But this is, as I said, the first time we've waxed lyrical about Keith Long on this pod, the job he's done. they're Friday, all the noise that's going on, talking to Bose fans about their opinions, and there's a lot of different opinions, but there's opinions.
And a lot of factions within the group.
Oh look, I was in the windmill before the game, and chatting to a couple of lads actually that I knew from Ireland trips. Mark, if he's listening, how are you? Shared a pint with him, and you know, lovely atmosphere. There was no bother ending, so just wanted to say that. But chatting to Bulls fans, different opinions from what I've seen on the pitch there, from having looked at a few of their games this season, either in person or watching back streams. This is the first time I'm starting to look at Long and say, you can't just blame the players for this. Not that he has blamed the players, but I think the fans have looked at the players first.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of comments the other night, oh, here we go again, no balls, no bottle. The manager, there was issues with on the pitch there the other night that weren't resolved tactically from the dugout.
Yeah.
As you said, it's his job now to resolve them for the next game. If we're talking here on next week's show about Bowes again going one up in a game and throwing it away, you're going to have to start asking questions about the manager, not the players.
Yeah, no, it's plainly not about the players, because we talked about individual mistakes that were costing them points. Now it's no individual mistakes that cost them points, and now it's a complete manager dugout related issue.
And we
but he's not getting, he doesn't seem to be able to understand, not saying that Keith Long doesn't understand something about the game, but I mean, he can't ingest information that's going on in front of him and make a change based on that.
We said it in the pre-season pod as well, I particularly said it, that I looked at their starting 11 and I said, the starting 11 is as good as what's out there anywhere else.
Yeah.
It's the squad that'll probably, you know, that's why they won't go for the title. So there's no issue with quality here. They've got the players. I mentioned Burr, I mentioned Promise. They've got loads of brilliant players.
Brian Flores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're not, the results at the moment aren't matching the quality of player they have. So you have to look to the manager. That's not me calling for his head, anything like that. I'm just saying there's questions to be answered there. He's got games coming up now, chance to answer them. Let's see what happens. Before we move on to the predictions, and we're going to start with Bowes and Harps, so that'll be interesting. Before we move on to that, though, we're going to hear from the man that got the late equaliser for the Drogs on Friday night. That's Dean Williams. He joins us now on Between the Stripes, LOI podcast. I'm here with Drogheda's goal scorer on the night, Dean Williams. Dean, 3-9 now for yourself. I suppose you're picking up where you left off with Longford last season. I spoke to John Martin towards the end of last year, and I think he said you had something like maybe 14 chances and you scored 7 goals last year, so very clinical.
Yeah, I think the first couple of games I didn't start, I was coming back from COVID. Obviously tonight, as you could probably see, I had a little tweak in the hamstring like coming the end of the game, but now I'm delighted to get on the score sheet tonight, and hopefully I keep it going now for the rest of the season.
You don't look too easy on your feet at the minute. How do you think, how is this going to affect you? Will it be one you'll walk off in a few days, or will it need to be examined?
Yeah, I think there'll be a scan on it in the next 48 hours, but hopefully it's not too bad. Like, he's doing stretching and stuff on it, and I don't think it's as bad as it seems.
Yeah, because as you said, you've probably had to bide your time at times this season, coming in off the bench and making an impact, and you have done that, so I'm sure you're looking to kick on now and start playing full 90 minutes, so this isn't overly helpful.
Yeah, exactly. All I'm thinking now is UCD next week. Yeah. Like, I know tonight obviously I come on the score sheet and everything, but for me, you know, it's always the next one. I want to score. I want to play well next week and score.
And look, to be truthful, it was probably a game lacking in real quality from both sides, but the equaliser that you scored, it's a brilliant bit of play out on the wing from Dylan Grimes, a man obviously you know well from last season. He's done well to beat a couple of players, puts a good cross in, and you take one touch and rifle it into the bottom corner. So it was one of the rare moments of quality in the game, really.
Yeah, I think me and Grimes are coming on, like, we had to make an impact, and you know, Dylan's a tricky player. He does exactly what his game. He goes past the fullback, and then he picks me out on the pullback. And as the ball's coming, I'm thinking I have to score this, and thankfully I did.
Yeah, and you rightfully point that out as well. The subs had a good impact, yourself and Dylan linking up for the goal, and Ryan Brennan came on and thought he'd give you a refocal point up there, made the ball stick, and was bringing the likes of yourselves and Dylan into the game.
Yeah, even last week against Finn Harps, like, I think Ryan comes on and makes a difference. This week it's me. Like, I think it's a huge part of the game is to have the squad, and you know, don't let your head go elsewhere when you're not playing. You know, you need to stay in the game, stay ready, and when you come on, believe that you're going to make the impact, and thankfully tonight I did.
And look, that's 4 unbeaten now, and as you said, UCD up next, so a good chance to go and kick on and get a win. So good run of form to be on, but you're looking obviously to make it count while you have this bit of momentum.
Yeah, hopefully the hamstring's all right for next week, but now, as you said, it's a decent run of form now. Unbeaten in four for us is really good. Like, and you're considering the games, even tonight we're getting beaten by a goal, but we show that character to get back into it, so yeah, hopefully we keep it going now.
How important has that win over Dundalk been? Because maybe you were just starting to struggle up until that point of the season. You get that win and it seems to have given you a real lift. And as well as that, you're looking very organised at the back as well. I know, as we said, maybe the game is lacking in attacking quality at times, but you're organised tonight and your goalkeeper didn't make too many saves. So that's a good building point to have, I suppose, over the next few weeks.
Yeah, exactly. I think the defence have been brilliant the last few weeks. We've obviously changed from the five at the back to the four at the back, and it's definitely worked. I think we're a lot more solid unit now, and we know when to press, when not to press, and I think it's been really good lately the last few weeks.
And look, you're a player, I suppose, that's been on the radar for a good few seasons. You're always talked about as this good young prospect at Shamrock Rovers, and you're scoring goals at youth level and all the rest, and you've had a good few loan spells, lots of goals at Bray and Longford and all the rest. But I suppose this is a big step in your career now, making this full-time move to Drogheda, a team that's going to be battling, trying to stay in division. So there's a lot of pressure on your shoulders every week, and so far you look to be really enjoying it.
Yeah, like for me, I just want to be playing football games now. I've obviously played a couple of years with Rovers and didn't play enough. Like, definitely not enough for my standards or where I believe I should be. So, like,
is that something that drives you on as well? You want to prove maybe you should have got more opportunities?
Yeah, exactly. I want to prove to everyone that I'm good enough to play in the Premier Division. And not just good enough, but to score goals, go somewhere and score goals. And, you know, hopefully I keep doing this with Drogheda.
And look, finally, you're straight over to the fans as soon as you scored. I know you like doing that, even sometimes it's not the home fans, but the atmosphere here this season has been brilliant. And on the road as well, Drogheda, their fans are making great noise, getting behind the team, so that's a real bonus.
Yeah, I think the fans just gel in with the team, the way we're going, with the momentum. But the fans are unbelievable here. Like, they never stop. And, you know, for a player, it's brilliant. Like, I'm thinking, you know, when I score, like, all I want to do is celebrate because, you know, I was a fan growing up. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I know how it feels in there. And, yeah, it's a special feeling scoring here.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks very much.
No bother.
Come on. Yeah, great to hear from Dean Williams. He's in cracking form for Drogheda, and hopefully that injury not too bad at all. Let's move on and get stuck into the Between the Stripes LOI Podcast Prediction League. Getting very juicy now. We have a proper title race here. Me and you level on points, and the two J's, Jason and John, they're only four or five behind now after the weekend. They had a good weekend, so it's on.
I'm still a point ahead of you. I'm going to die on that. This level on points, Lark. You're the game in the system. We need an independent adjudicator to look at you adding up these sums.
If you lose the title, you can go to the court of arbitration for sport and all that. But at the moment, we're level on points.
I have them on notice. Don't worry about that.
Bows against Harps. Go on, you go first.
I am struggling with this one quite badly because the Harps are Harps. We didn't really touch on them in the game that they had with Derry, but they were kind of a consolation goal at the end. I don't think they were really in the game. Not that I've seen much of it, to be quite honest. This is a game now for Harps that they can go. They had a great away win in Shelburne last time and they were in Dublin. They have another opportunity here.
I'm not sure if they will go up to Daly Mount and say we can win here, or are they going to say let's not lose here?
I think they have to go up and say we can win this game. If they're listening to the pod, which I know they all are, they can go and look. Bows are playing so poorly; they're always giving up goals either between mistakes or, as we highlighted before the interview, a really bad approach to the game and bad game management. If Bows go 1-0 up, the Harps will be delighted. They'll probably just go out and score an own goal in the first minute and go, right, boys, here, now we're ready to go. Bows are going to give us a load of chances, and surely to God we can put in one of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to play it safe. Do we go 2-1 Harps or 1-1?
I'm going 1-1. I see the game playing out exactly like that. Bows will score first, and then game management let them down.
Alright, I'll follow you. I'll be I have to protect my lead.
This is the first time we've done a podcast sitting next to each other. It's quite annoying actually, because usually when it comes to predictions I'd be listening to you and Jason or John, whoever's on, talk and I'm playing it in my head. Well, I like his opinion there, you know, I was gonna go to, and I usually would write down as you are talking, I'd write down my scores. I can't do that now because
I'm watching.
You're watching. Let's move on. Derry against Shells. Big game up the Brandywell. How do you see it going?
I think Derry are going to keep on taking the way they're going. The setup that Rory has applied to them, we talked last week about Dunvegan, where his position is, he is breaking up so much play and he's doing the work.
He won't need to break up too much play here, because Shells will go up there, dig the trenches, we're playing for a draw. They're going to have no ambition about winning this game.
Are they going to get a goal?
Are Derry going to get a late goal?
No, I think
is it going to be one of them? Shells dig in, good defensive display again.
No, 2-0 Derry.
You're going 2-0 Derry.
Yeah.
They've picked up a few of them lately as well, haven't they?
They have. Yeah. And they're going to get another one here, because I don't see Shelburne scoring in this game at all. Open the AstroTurf pitch up there.
I'm going to follow you, because I think that late goal for Rovers has probably knocked a lot of stuffing out of Shells. Derry keep ticking, as you said. 2-0.
100%.
Yeah. I'm so disappointed with Shells' approach this season. But I'm not surprised, because I've said it time after time, the personnel in the final third of the pitch isn't there.
No, it's not. And they got was it 1-1? Did they win a game recently? Dan Carr scored
Sligo.
A penalty.
Beat Sligo.
Yeah, a penalty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's no surprise week after week when I go online and look at comments from Shells fans and even opposition fans that watch Shells, A. Dervin is getting great reviews. It's
good.
Because he's doing so much dog work, I'd say, in the middle. But there's no quality going forward from that team.
It's amazing that they can spot it is all dog work, because it seems that's all they're able to do is the dog work, stop teams.
Mm.
So, I know you're probably listening. How are you doing, son? Keep up the good work. But as the season goes on, I think they're going to unfortunately be really down in the relegation
battle. They need the summer window.
Oh,
they really desperately need it.
Yeah.
Moving on, Dundalk against Sligo. I'm going to be at this one on Good Friday. And it's an interesting one, isn't it? Dundalk draw specialist, Sligo bad run of form at the moment. How do we see it going?
I'm going to go for a 1-0 Dundalk win here. I think Dundalk will be pleased enough with the result in Pats, considering the way Pats are going.
The whole furore about the game, difficult atmosphere.
Yeah,
all
exactly.
The rest, yeah.
You know, we can put that one nearly to the side. And while yes, Pats had a good few chances and the dog keeper made a good few saves as well, that shows that yes, we were under the cosh, but we still got the point away from home down in Pats. Great result. So there's a lot to be taken from that. And as Sligo, we said how many times last year, surely to God Sligo will pull it out of the fire this week. And they disappointed week after week after week after week for about 6 months. They've started this decline. I don't see them being able to get over that quickly, and certainly not away to Dundalk up in Ireland.
I'd have to go back and look, but I have a feeling Sligo's recent record anyway over the last few years in Oriel probably isn't great.
Probably not. Up in the Astro pitch as well, you know. I just don't see it. I really don't see it.
I just not sure what it is about Dundalk. I said this a few weeks ago. They were scoring a lot of goals early on the season. The boy Bradley was really on fire. Now he's still playing quite well. The goals just aren't coming. We saw Patrick Hooban get on the score sheet against UCD. You're hoping now he'll kick on and get a bag full of goals over the next while, but they're just struggling to create a little bit. They've got the players there. I mean, they've got Benson pulling the strings in the midfield. They've got Bradley out wide, Hooban up front. If he's not on it, you've got McMillan to come off the bench. I'm not sure why they're just not scoring a huge pile of goals. Could be just a simple case of so many new players are still kind of gelling together a little bit. So I'm kind of reluctant to lean the way of a Dundalk win. I don't see Sligo winning this. So that's kind of pointing me towards a draw.
Nil-nil or 1-1.
Yeah, I'm looking at McGinty in goals. Maybe he has a big game. Well, Dundalk in Oriel, though. I don't want to follow you again for the third one in a row with a 1-0. I got 2-1. I got 2-1 Dundalk. I'm hoping it's a Good Friday game. Big crowd, hopefully good game, so let's hope for goals, but I wouldn't be surprised if it ends in 0-0.
Yeah, no, I can see it happening myself. I just think Dundalk have enough to edge it, and they need to start winning games. They've drawn a lot, as we said, the draw specialist so far. They could do it a win.
Now, we touched on this one earlier on. This is a huge, huge game down at the bottom, particularly for UCD. They welcome Drogheda to the bowl.
Big game here. UCD surely have to take 2 goals away from home. Unheard of for them this season. Can they bring that type of
form? Well, they got 2 goals in Drogheda, but unfortunately they conceded 4.
Yeah, but like, they actually got a result in this game. And it's against different opposition than what they looked at up in Headingham Park a few weeks ago. This while the Sligo aren't going great, this is a great result for UCD. Their boys were firing. Kerrigan set up Whelan for the goal. I can't remember Caffrey's goal, but they went ahead in the game after being 1-0 down. A huge change in form for UCD. And it shows, even if you contrast the way Andy Myler has approached that game to Keith Long, we're going nowhere. We've been bet asunder in so many games, playing well up to a certain point, conceding, losing. He still has those players on side. Believe in what they're doing, what Andy Myler is saying to them, digging out a result away from home. That was huge. I think they can bring that into the game on Friday. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to UCD.
What a massive prediction that is. I'm going to go with a draw, because I think Drogheda will go up here not to lose the game. They've kind of approached most games in a similar way this season. Yeah. They're well organised. Not sure what way Williams will be. You heard in the interview there, he wasn't in great shape after the game the other night. I think that's a big blow, because I'd like to see a lot more of him for Drogheda, because anytime I've watched him this season, when he's come on off the bench, there's been a bit more spark about them. Now, I'll hold my hands up. We think we're experts here on this show all the time. We're always questioning managers' decisions and all the rest. When Doherty took off Lyons the other night, I was like, what is he doing? Lyons is the only one that's looked anyway half threatening, but Ryan Brennan had a big impact. He played Williams up front, and he had Brennan just in behind him. They went a bit direct up to Brennan. He was making stuff stick, getting it out wide to the likes of Grimes and then into Williams. And, you know, that's how the equaliser came. Mm-hmm. So, brilliant bit of management there from Kevin Doherty. But I think he'll set them up here not to lose. UCD, okay, great, two goals on the road, but they have struggled for goals this season. I think these two teams probably just cancel each other out. I'm going to go scoreless draw.
Ooh, I think Whelan, my man Liam Kerrigan, I found that he's been playing kind of within himself. And I know that's kind of the approach that we kind of saw with UCD so far this season. If he's let a bit off the chains, which I think what we said before, Andy Myler has to kind of let these boys go at it, because they'll be relegated in June if they don't. So a risk has to be taken. I think Liam Kerrigan and Colin Whelan, they haven't linked up so far this season. They started it there last week against Sligo. Now is the time. This is a huge game, because Drogheda, where we expect them to be at the end of the season, this is going to be one that they'll remember. Oh, jeez, boys, yes, we bet Drogheda 6 months ago.
It's so much harder, though, for Whelan and Kerrigan this season, particularly Whelan, because he's coming up against defenders that are very street smart. I mean, look at the likely back two here for Drogheda. Now, I didn't think he had a great game Friday, but Massey will be playing, and probably Keith Cowan. That's a very difficult back two to get around for a small player like Colin Whelan. Now, he's very clever. I'm sure he will find a way around them.
Do you know what he'll find? He's going to get maybe 10 frees off the pair of them on Friday. And if Liam Kerrigan puts a ball into a bit of a dangerous position, we saw Sam Long score a ridiculous header.
Sam Todd.
Sam Long's a keeper. Sorry.
Yeah, that'd be impressive.
Yeah, it would. But Sam Todd score a ridiculous goal against Bose. Now, that, you know, probably Sean Brennan could have got that header.
Yeah, the smallest player on the pitch.
The
smallest player in the league.
Maybe. But I think Colin Whelan will earn a lot of free kicks off the pair of these boys, and his holding ability.
Oh, yes.
I said it before, it's like he can catch the ball. 100%. There's going to be an opportunity here for UCD. 1-0 is a big prediction, yes, but I'm going to stick with it.
Okay. What a game this is. Rovers against Pats.
Yeah. What is this?
Dublin Derby.
Yeah, but sure, the whole league, is, you know, there's two or three Dublin Derbies.
Premier Division equals Dublin Derby. First Division, Munster Derby.
Yeah.
But Rovers chasing Derry. Pats lost ground on the two of them. Chance to make back some of that ground now.
Out in Tallaght for Pats?
Yeah.
No, I don't see it happening. I'm going to go 2-1 here. I know this is the President's Cup replay. I know the President's Cup.
Which was a draw, technically.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Rovers... I'm not saying they need to get worried or concerned or anything like that, but they're going to run out of games. They're not... You know, I know they won last week, but that was only a screamer from Aaron Green. They need to start putting teams down.
Look, if they win this by the odd goal, you're happy. They're playing a team of Pat's calibre. Like,
no, 100%. But where...
They did put three past Harps the week before.
But
they're winning games. That's all that matters. They're winning games. They're absolutely doing enough
to stay. And I think they're going to continue doing it. But they need to start beating the teams that are around them. You know what I mean? It's grand beating Harps 3-0. It's grand beating Shells 2-1 in the last minute screamer.
But drew with Dundalk. Yeah. Lost to Derry. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
This is the game that they need to win. This is the most important game. Whatever, but they could have drawn with Harps 0-0. That wouldn't have been as big a problem as beating these. They need to beat Pats. Not convincingly. Anything at all is fine.
What have I just wrote down there?
1-1.
Yeah.
You give out to me last 6 and I'm saying Everton's 1-1.
How many have I had? That's two.
I've had one.
Pats, they're not scoring as many goals as we expected. And actually, I tagged you in it last night on Twitter. Thought you would have found it interesting. Oh, a lad be playing in the 19s the other day.
What?
Yeah. You didn't see it, did you? No. Playing for the 19s. Scored for the 19s at the weekend.
What was that about?
You can play three overage players
no,
now.
No, I understand the concept of why that happened, but why is he there?
Because he hasn't played a huge amount of minutes.
There must be something that Tim Clancy is seeing that he's not satisfied with, because they're not scoring enough goals themselves. With Owen Doyle, we said at the start of the season, Olabi and Owen Doyle, pace and experience, the whole
I think that it's a 4-3-3 kind of set up, isn't it? They've got Mark Doyle, Dara Burns, Owen Doyle. Dara Burns won't be dropped. He seems to be loyal to Mark Doyle. Great success with him at Drogheda, and Owen Doyle is not going to be dropped. So what to do with Olabi, really?
Well, he has to be a manager.
Yeah, change the formation.
Change the system. Change something. Olabi deserves a shout. He blasted in a consolation goal or maybe an equaliser?
Yeah, I remember us talking about it now. Yeah. I can't remember which game it was, but
I can't remember myself. It might have been a winner, it might have been a two goal to put them up two ahead. I can't remember what it was, but he absolutely horsed it in. And that's the type of player you want. They're not really doing that. You know, Forrest has scored a header for them. Was it to beat, who did they beat with a header? Gina, I can remember the header, I don't know who it was, but that's the type of thing that they're relying on players that they shouldn't be relying on to score goals. Owen Doyle, how many goals has he got this season? 2 or 3, something like that.
A lot of guessing going on here.
A lot of guessing going on.
It's lovely we're out here. We don't have as many laptops and stuff in front of us as we usually do. So,
But yeah, no, look, I certainly think, I think something has to change for Pat's approach.
I agree with that. I think Olabi needs to be in there. If you have to change the approach, change the approach. But what the original point I was making was, despite them not scoring as many goals as we thought they would, they've been actually a little bit more solid defensively than maybe we expected. We thought they'd be very hot and cold this season, but they've been well organised. We're just not seeing the return of goals that we thought. So I think they have enough to go up to Tallinn and get a result. So I'm going to go 1-1.
Fair enough, I think so. And I think Anang will have a good game as well. We haven't talked much about him this season so far.
What we'll do, Longford are playing Cove tonight. Longford don't play on Friday. We're here tonight, so we'll just give a very quick prediction by the time this is out. This will be old news, but what we'll do, we'll go double points on this one.
Yup, Elvis.
So Longford against Cove, just give us a quick prediction, a very quick word in the game. We'll move on to the weekend games in the First Division then.
We didn't really talk much. We talked more about Athlone than we did about the game earlier on. I thought Longford, they created so many chances. As I said, Schlingerman had a great game.
I'm worried about that though. That's. I'm very happy with the start of the season from Longford. I'm pleasantly surprised with what I've seen so far.
Yep.
We're not clinical. Nowhere near clinical. Should have been 5 or 6 against Athlone on Saturday. There's been other games this season where we haven't. The Wexford game, we put Wexford to the sword, but you still relied on a couple of screamers from long range. There's been games where we've had chances. Even the goal in Waterford, the heavy lifting Longford made of that. We're not clinical enough. That's my big, big concern. I think Graydon looks far more dangerous through the middle than he does wide. But then if you move him in there, does it upset the whole balance? Because Sam Verdon's not really a winger. Can you play him there? Craven's good in the 10, so you can't really drop Sam in there and play Craven wide. You'd love to play Graydon through the middle for what he gives you, because he makes very intelligent runs. He's got the pace and all the rest, but will it upset the balance of the team?
That's a fair point. I agree with everything you said, because we've watched every Town game this season.
From the same angle as you said.
Same angle. Everywhere we go, we watch them. I think there does need to be an issue with being clinical. It's definitely something that needs to be looked at, and I believe that the Town are going to make a change, or not a change, or make an addition in that area. So hopefully that might. I'm not saying that the player.
Well, they've got McGurson to come back at some stage as well.
McGurson to come back and Warfield to come back. Yeah. Both players that are unfortunately with niggling. Well, McGurson, we know his injury concerns. I think Warfield has a bit of an injury niggling situation going on. So that can be resolved. That'd be great. And that'd be another opportunity for a lad to come on and score a couple of goals. But I think there's just a bit of a... I don't know, we created so many chances the other night and only put two of them away. As I said, Shingman had a good game, but at the end of the day, that should have been four or five, really, from a Longford perspective. Yeah. I'm going to go 2-0 for the town here tonight. Anything else... At the minimum, 2-0.
Yeah. 2-0 is what I was going to go with here. But since it's since it's double points...
you're going to go 3-0 or something?
Yeah. Do I see us scoring three goals out here this evening?
Actually, I'm going to... Can I say 3-0?
That suits me. Yeah. That suits me because I want to go 2-0. So yeah, double points on that one. So yeah, look, I just think Cove, very disappointing this season. We touched on earlier in the show. Longford, in good form. If they win this... They still have a game in hand. Win the two games in hand. They're banging the mix. They're only 2 points off top.
This is
a big, big, big game tonight.
It is a big game for Longford Town season, more than anybody else's. Yeah. For anybody listening to the pod later on, if anyone watched the game out here in Bishopsgate, you'll hear me screaming in the background when we go 3-0 up, at least. I do want to make one other point about the town. Dean McMenemy.
Class.
What a player he has. It is scandalous that we haven't heard of him before. I was total unknown when he came in. After handed to Shamrock Rovers, for he's in their academy and I think playing for under 21s or under 19s or whatever. But fair play to Longford Town for, you know, spotting him and his quality and getting him in. He has been running games. The little touches, the little movements.
I said it on commentary the weekend. There was a lot of concern. How are Longford going to replace Aidan Durbin in the middle? This boy is class.
Oh, this boy is sick. It is unbelievable how good he is. Dean, if you listen to the pod, fair play.
They all listen to the pod.
Of course they do. But
even the referees listen to the pod. We won't get into that, but I found out at the weekend.
The thing is...
And they're fans, by the way.
Absolutely.
They're not critics.
Big fans.
How are you, lads?
But Dean McMenemy, the little touches that he makes, the little shimmies, the little drop the shoulders, everything is just a lovely bit of class, and he's also good defensively as well.
Yeah, and he's a joy to watch.
A real player to watch for the rest of the season for the town.
Let's move on. At Lone against Treaty, so their caretaker manager will be in charge here. Treaty beat them only a couple of weeks ago, so as I said to Martin in that interview, you'll be sick of the sight of each other, but unfortunately he won't be there now. But yeah. You'd have to be looking at Treaty here and saying, go and cash in on the disarray, lads.
I think that's something... You're after writing something down there. Yeah, look, just on the game, Treaty, they attempted to play something like football on Friday. They were definitely stopped by Bray and their...
Was Curran playing Friday?
He was.
How did he get on?
He was in and out of the game because...
He'll be sniffing for goals here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, like, look, he'll be sniffing for goals against half the teams if it's former clubs he's looking at. But not that I was disappointed with him. I think he was frustrated.
Right.
There was a bit of...
Lack of service.
Lack of service. Lack of quality service. And just actually poor decision making. You know, particularly when I was watching the game, I was behind the goal, so I was looking into his face a lot, and he was looking for passes that weren't being made. Simple passes, just play it into the lad. Do you know what I mean? Oh, I'll go down the wing and get involved with another couple of defenders and lose the ball. Not great, not what they needed. I think Curran will be looking for a goal here. Would it be a risk to play him for the entire game on a AstroTurf pitch? He's not that durable.
talking about like he's a 95-year-old here.
No, I know that, but he has. He'll tell you himself. He isn't the most durable of players.
He did say that, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. So, but he probably didn't use those words. But do you know what I mean? Like he's not.
You know, yeah, he said his body wasn't up to the full time, I think, before, didn't he, when we had him on the show?
So I'm gonna follow you. I know you've written down 2-0 here. Yeah. I'm gonna follow you here 2-0.
That's why I shouldn't be writing them down, I know it.
No, I think that you could get one or two things here. A huge response from the Athlone players, or will they down tools because maybe they were enjoying playing under Martin Russell? They could down tools completely. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
I'm not sure if they will or not, but I think Treaty, considering how the rubbish that they were...
They beat them a few weeks ago. They know, look, as we said, there could be a totally different approach from the new manager. We don't know, but they look at that group of players and say, we bet these a few weeks ago. Let's just get this done.
Maybe so. Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. Look, 2-0 I think is a fair assumption.
This could be interesting. Cork against Bray. Last time these two teams met, Cork put 6 past them.
I think they'll put 3 past them on Friday.
Is that your prediction?
Yeah.
That was the quickest prediction you ever made. Look, there should be no reason Cork don't win this comfortably.
Look, I must say, watching former Town players, Rob Manley in particular, and Dean Zambra, it was awful. Do you know what I mean? Like particularly, you know, I have affinity for, you know, the players that we got promoted under COVID with, you know, it was a difficult time for everybody. I just felt bad for Rob Manley, you know, starting out in his career, and this is the type of stuff that he's at, working like a dog. He could be running marathons. And it would be the same thing.
Yeah. Probably get more touches of the ball in the marathon.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's going to be another tough night at the office for them. I don't think they've changed their...
Big crowd as well of a good Friday.
Big crowd of a good Friday. Looking into the bank holiday weekend, I think it's going to be very, very difficult for Bray here. I'd be surprised if Cork don't score 3, possibly more.
I follow you. 3-0. What a game this should be. Two managers that have been under... little bits of pressure over the last couple of weeks. Two managers that have been criticised for their styles of play, but I think both sets of fans here just want the result on a good Friday. It's Waterford against Galway. It's a huge game in the first division in terms of the promotion picture. How do you see it playing out?
1-1 for me. neither team, I've been very critical about the quality of the football being played in the division so far. Two major suspects in Waterford and Galway. Waterford in particular, when Longford Town went down there, Waterford were just at nothing. It was scandalous. I couldn't believe...
To be fair though, how many teams go down to Coleman's and score 4 goals? Great response from them at the weekend.
Absolutely, but like, when was the last time... We haven't seen enough of Cove to really know what they're... You know what I mean? We'll see them now tonight.
We'll know by results.
Well, we know by results,
but before the season started, if I asked you for prediction Waterford Cove, you probably would have said, yeah, they'll win handy enough. But it was a good response, so there's no suggestion that the players aren't playing for the manager or anything like that. He obviously made adjustments from that Longford game. Bit more freedom. Phoenix Patterson getting a couple of goals. That's good to see.
But this is Cove they're playing. That was Cove they're playing. Team down the bottom with no real intention. Intention, but we don't expect them to do anything else bar be down the bottom. This is Galway. This is top of the table clash. This is a big game. I don't think either team will want to lose this game, and that's going to be the defining factor of this game. If someone goes ahead, it'll be all, you know, backs to the wall job. I think it's going to be a 1-1 game. I think maybe Waterford will go ahead. Old Walsh will step up. down in the boot. He'll either boot it out onto the racetrack, or he'll boot it out or boot it into the top corner.
Yeah. Just given the fact they have a bit of confidence behind them after the 4 in Cove, some of their what you'd describe maybe as flair players getting on the score sheet. Patterson, I think that's a good sign, because he was really marked out of that game against Longford. He never got going. No. But I think himself, Junior, if they're on it, this Galway team, they've been stale to watch this season. Those two players, a bit of magic could be just enough to open up Galway are still difficult to open up. You can't question their defensive resolution, that they're well organised. Difficult. Nobody will enjoy playing against them, but I think Waterford have the players there that they can break down this tough nut to crack in Galway. They're at home. I think they'll win it 2-1. That's the way I'm going there. Let's go to our final game, and that's Wexford against Cove again. Lots of mentions for Cove on the pod tonight. Their kit van just pulled in here as well.
There you go. Great to see them. Got here safe and sound. I'm going to have to go with Wexford here. I think their result last week...
This was a cracker the last time they met, wasn't it? 3-2 to Wexford down in Coleman's. Came from behind.
That's right. I think the result last week, they'll be very disappointed with that. You know, Stephen Walsh, of all lads, come up and score against you. I know, you'd be just sick. I do believe that they'll take a lot of stock from that, and they'll look at Cove and go, we've bet these lads before, but we haven't had some great results in the interim period between when we played them last and this day. But I think they'll have enough.
Plus two games in a week for Cove, that's got to be taxing. Down to Longford, trip to Wexford.
Yeah, and that's another point. I think it's wrong. I know the club's probably agreed to it, but it's not great that Cove have to come up to Longford of a Tuesday in the middle of the week before a bank holiday.
On a Champions League night as well.
I don't mind the Champions
League. No, but for what type of crowd are we expecting out here tonight? How many people are we expecting to tune in? to the stream?
I have plenty because I produce the stream and you commentate on it, so there'll be loads of people watching it. But the point, I think the point is, it's going to be difficult for a part-time team like Cove to come up to Longford on a Tuesday. You know, it's not.
Yeah, yeah, that's totally evident. But just from a league perspective here, as a product, Tuesday night, Champions League night.
Yeah.
It's a crappy weather night as well. That's not the FAI's fault. We like to blame them for a lot. We can't blame them for the weather. But this isn't ideal. And look, I know, again, this is a rearranged game. It was called off on the opening day of the season. It has to be played sometime. This isn't ideal.
No, it's not ideal, but Longford playing a Saturday. They already changed to a Friday game for the Galway game because of Ireland were playing on the Saturday. That's the night Longford play. If this game could have been on a Monday. This could have been yesterday if Longford play on a Friday. So it's yeah, a
even
fact
a, even a Monday is any better than a Tuesday. It's just
no, it's not. But
could like, have been put on ice and wait and see if either team go out with a cup early or something like that. You know what I mean?
That would have been it, but next thing you know, one of the teams stays in the cup for a long time. And next thing you know, you're looking to get a game.
And next thing, there's other games called off during the year, and you have a backlog. So it's just not ideal.
Yeah, they have to get it in as quick as they can, and that's fair enough. I just think Tuesday, Jenny Mac, of a bank holiday weekend, I'm not really sure what else they could have done. They still have to play the Wexford game as well of a Friday. Longford, they're lucky they have a weekend off. Now they are playing on the bank holiday Monday down in Bray.
Half three kickoff as well. That Bray game.
Oh, it is,
a lot of the games are early on the bank holiday Monday. Do you favour that?
On the bank holiday Monday? Oh, I think that's nice. Yeah, certainly. Whatever about the bank holiday, I just think it's a different atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah. Probably
no one getting home
encourages
too late.
More families out and stuff like that.
Families
so.
And, you know, down wonderful Bray down by the seaside. Have a great time down there. Get a 99 for yourself. Ah, lovely all day. I'll be getting the dart down to it, so I'll be happy enough.
Right, Grant, give us your prediction for Wexford and Cove.
1-0 Wexford.
All right, I'll go 2-1. But look, that brings us towards the end of the show. There's a few more heads just starting to appear here at Bishopsgate ahead of tonight's game. If you see there's some poor creature over there hopping around on crutches, not sure that is. But no, it's been very enjoyable to be out here recording a live pod.
Absolutely, it's great to get. Hopefully now the weather stays quite clear for tonight's game. And hopefully a good win for Longford Town.
That's it. Look, hopefully our listeners enjoyed that. A massive thanks to our two guests tonight. That was Martin Russell and Dean Williams. And yeah, that's all this week from myself and Gary. We're not going to ramble on like we usually do at the end of the show, but I would say a thanks to Longford Town for letting us use the facilities here. But then again, I think when they opened the gates and we're not here, they're kind of wondering, jeez, where's the two lads?
Absolutely.
They nearly have nearly bunk beds built out here at this stage.
Unfortunately so. I was actually out here yesterday as well, hammering in some cable into a wall.
There you go.
But
I'd use the term second home, but I feel like I nearly should be paying more rent here.
Oh, there you go. Or should they be paying us rent for cutting us down? That's the other thing. Anyway, come on the town.
Yeah, come on the town is right. We'll leave it there. Thanks to everyone that tuned in. You can subscribe to the pod wherever you get your podcast from. Check out the latest episodes and other content on BetweenTheStripes.net. We're on the social, all the social channels, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Just search for Between the Stripes. But for myself, Kieran Burke, from Gary Riley, a massive thanks for listening. And we'll speak to you again next week.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.